So, if you listen to last week's episode,
yes,
there's something that you might not have known.
Continue.
Or you might have just Googled it and figured out what it was on its own. But the answer to the question from last week, Devin Sawa.
What was the question? Can you remind me?
You gotta go back.
Listen to last week's episode to find out.
That's right.
Smiling Stan.
Soapbox Stan.
Oh my God.
Who wants some soap?
He's no Smiling Steranko, who has just the biggest, whitest teeth you've ever seen.
Yeah. Those are totally
are they,
real.
Are they actually very yellow teeth and just compared to his tan face?
That's possible.
Or
that's
his
true.
Tauntaun face. You thought he smelled bad on the outside. He smells great on the outside. He smells beautiful. He smells the best.
That's where the hair is. It's 100% real Tauntaun.
There you go. Mm. Let's get into it, shall we?
Yes.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
Welcome to Zero Issues Comic Podcast number whatever the hell number we're at.
418.
Something like that.
Two more until the weed episode.
Yes!
Might have to crash here for that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might be an idea.
Let's do that.
Let's just get some bongs. Let's go for it.
Let's get some bongs.
Yeah. Let's get multiple bongs.
Three.
I'm
or
not
four.
Sharing a bong.
Not gonna happen.
So my name's Kyle.
I'm Bri.
And I'm Merc.
And we're the hosts of this show that you decided to listen to, you dummy.
You made a good choice.
Yeah, you made a good choice.
You have chosen wisely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This week we are very excited to be talking about Jim Steranko, a guy who, boy, you know, you
That's
can
a
say
character.
A, you could yeah, you
There's
could
a
say
lot of
a
characters
lot about
in comics and he's
oh, big time.
In comic
The Batman,
creation.
Superman.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, behind the scenes creators,
it, I think.
He is one of them.
Oh, Superboy.
Superboy.
Oh, wait, no.
Super Kid.
Batboy.
The Kid old Venom. Days in comics are in, like, just the how people just sort of, just seem to, like, just fall ass backwards into their careers almost sometimes. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, a lot of Kramers.
A lot of Kramers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they sue over, you know, custody.
Yeah.
Kramer versus Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Oh, triple Kramer.
Oh, no. It's too many Kramers.
Kramer cubed.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right.
Oh, an all Kramer cube.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman, Michael Richards. Devin Sawa.
Yeah, who played the other Kramer.
Yeah.
He's the kid grown up.
He's
recast it.
There
they
we go.
Recast it.
Yep.
That's fine.
Yep. Should we get to the warm-up?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Welcome to the warm-up!
So, this week for the warm-up, because we're talking about Jim Steranko, we thought we would do a all Jim Steranko character storm. And so...
I think we all probably took it in different directions.
We didn't discuss it at all.
So.
Listen, we're being very serious about this. We're not just Steranking your chain. I'll leave.
Would you?
Get the fuck out. But leave your ball.
I hope we all didn't,
oh, yeah. well,
I hope we all
three
didn't just write down Jim Steranko.
Yeah, that is the character storm. It's just...
Here's a ball. Perhaps
it's,
you'd like to bounce it.
Well, like, there's only three of us. That's the unfortunate part. I want it to be, like, Reign of the Steranko Men.
Oh,
and it's just, you know, you have, like...
Cyborg Steranko.
Cyborg Steranko. You got cool teen Steranko, who has the exact same shades as regular Steranko.
They all look
like
the exact
those, like, pink
same.
Wait, so does the Eradicator, though.
Oh, that's true.
That's what I mean. They all look just exactly the same.
They're just, yeah. They're
and, of
all...
course, Steel Ranko.
Yes. Ooh, I like it.
It's Shaq.
Yes, but he's got like a metal Steranko head.
let me just say for the listener, I was going to bring this up later, but yeah. We'll bring it up now. Just pause this for a second and just Google Jim Steranko just to see the face of who we're talking about. Because he had a wonderfully, horribly bad, I would say him like he's dead. He's not dead. He's still alive.
He's 85 years young.
This toupee that's like this.
What is a toupee?
Oh my goodness.
He basically looks like if Mac Tonight was the sun instead of the moon.
And he's a 50s greaser.
Oh my yeah. God, that's very grown accurate. Up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That and, is accurate.
And
the Mac today. Sorry.
Goddamn.
Still rank Mac. Come on, make it Mac Tonight. So was that your choice? Was your reign of the...
What's that?
Your reign of the Starankos?
Or are we just riffing?
I mean, it is now.
It is, yeah. I think that's legitimate.
Yeah, that's mine. That's, you know, whatever. It's over. Okay, I'm done.
Sure.
I'm out.
Okay.
We did it.
mine, based on the idea that he did do, like, concept art and stuff for Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. Francis Ford Dracula.
Ooh.
Francis Ford Dracula. Tell me about this guy.
It's definitely over budget.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah. And he, it's played by Martin Sheen.
He's a man.
Has a heart attack.
He's a man. Okay. All right. Okay.
Has a heart attack while he's, while he's playing this character.
Uh-huh.
But he just becomes so involved with the character, he becomes the character. And he's just Francis Ford Dracula.
Dracula.
Yeah. I was going to say Dracula.
Jeremy Irons.
I was going to say Dracula because we were talking about, Rob Zombie and Dracula.
In this production...
Francis Ford Dracula?
Francis Ford Dracula.
Slam in the back of him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, in this production, the role of Winona Ryder will be played by Sofia Coppola.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Checks out.
So what's yours, Merc?
I have two. You can take your pick. I'll say them both, and then you can choose which one.
Yeah.
Starank Cold... Like K-O-L-D, like he's cold.
Uh-huh.
Or Dr. Strange.
Strange-co.
Strange-co. Dr. Strange-co.
I like that one. I like that one.
It's kind of good.
Because I don't think Strange-co is ever cold. He's hot.
Yeah.
Hot.
Hot. I kind of like the hair, the glasses. I want like the cape. You know what I mean? I feel like he'd rock
The Eye of
Agamotto, of course. Yeah. He'd rock that. Yeah. He'd rock that for sure. I feel like the entire plot of like Spider-Man No Way Home wouldn't have happened because he would just slap the shit out of Peter before he did that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Or he would have just told everybody.
And he'd be telling that story for years.
Years and years and years. Well, he makes everybody forget that like Peter Parker's Spider-Man, but then he just like goes into comic panels and just shoots it out there.
Yeah.
Just nonstop.
Yeah. And he makes them forget again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just loves to tell that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
Yeah. Okay, well, Doctor Strange has the cape, but he would have to also have, like, the turtleneck the blazer. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? He'd have
and
to
that
have
was the
that.
Thing. And it's also, he's not very tall. So you got to keep that in mind.
So you think...
Sure, with the turtleneck.
He's got the high collar of the cape.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he's always floating a little bit just to make him a little taller. Mm. And he's got platform shoes and he's wearing
pinstripes. I was just
going to
say, I've never seen a cape, but I
he's got a guarantee
he's got lips.
Yeah.
You know, actors normally stand on boxes.
Not Starenko. Nobody puts Starenko on a corner.
On a crate.
On a crate. In a corner.
Yeah. I think we... Whatever we did, I think we did it. I think we're ready to move on.
Yep. Yeah. To more Jim Starenko.
What the f***?
All right, so I'll try to do this fairly briefly, but to give you an overview, and I know you each probably have your own little notes about this, but just chime in as we go along.
Oh, we will. Don't worry. We are very good at interrupting you.
I know. Mm-hmm. I'm very well.
But so here's the thing.
A history of Starenko. Born November 5th, 1938. His parents were originally from the Ukraine, who had then they immigrated. He was born in Reading, Pennsylvania. And this is like during, he's a child of the Depression, so it's tough times. He had a very tough childhood. I think everybody in that time had a tough childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
You never hear somebody like,
the late 30s into the 1940s? Yeah. Nah, everyone was having a great time.
Yeah, peak time, yeah.
Just dancing the Charleston on top of a flagpole.
I think he was also a smaller kid.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of bullies picked on him. He did take up boxing and self-defense at the YMCA.
They called him Kid Starenko.
Legionnaire.
That's the Superboy version of the, you know, reign of the Starenko.
He loved drawing. He thought about becoming, he wanted to become an architect.
Yeah.
His father did not like that idea. His father was a tinsmith and a miner. Not a miner. He wasn't a kid. How would that work? Biologically, can't do that. His father was younger than him.
Wait a second.
But his father was also into music. Music and magic.
Into music, hated architecture.
I know.
Hated buildings.
Weird, weird. Don't draw, no son
of,
but
no son
here's
of mine will be an architect.
Well, I mean, like, he was a miner, so he's used to going down, 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 and, you know, building up, up, up. That's, he can't wrap his head around it.
What if you built a bunker? It's the best of both worlds.
Starunker bunker.
Mm. Starunker. Starunker. The Starunker bunker. The Smothers Brothers in the Starunker bunker.
Comedy Hour.
Is that the title? So, who knows?
So his dad got into music, and he was also apparently into magic. So
yeah.
Jim Steranko, when he was younger,
and you're saying
picked
he got
that,
beat up a lot.
Yeah, exactly. He picked that stuff up, but he became, and it was very unclear. Like this, I'm assuming this is when he was a teenager, because he didn't give some certain timelines and what
right,
I was looking at. But
right.
he became a stage magician.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And escape artist.
Oh, wait, that also comes later. But okay. He was with circuses and carnivals during the summer.
Yeah.
He got into gymnastics a bit. So he was like a boxer, gymnast guy. So, like, not... probably
he's
pretty,
Batman.
Yeah, totally.
He's Batman. Or at least Robin.
Yeah. At 17, he was arrested for a string of burglaries and car thefts.
He's Red Hood.
Who wasn't?
He's Red Hood. He's Jason Todd.
In his 20s, and this is where it's an illusionist, escape artist, a magician, and musician. He kind of explored all that. And little known fact, Jack Kirby based Mr. Miracle on him.
Yeah.
So the escape artist, Mr. Miracle,
right.
was based on that idea.
He had a whole story about like having dinner or something, whatever, hanging out with Jack Kirby and Roz and stuff like that. I read, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, like obviously they based like the relationship was more based on Jack and Roz, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, the escape artist thing. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
that's what he says.
Yeah.
I believe it.
I always thought the relationship was based on Frasier and Roz. Stupid idiot.
Oh, my God.
So he worked for, like, a printing company.
Hear the blues a-calling. It might be Darkseid.
Designing flyers and then did some ad agency stuff. He met Julius
Martin.
Schwartz.
Sorry, we're having a Frasier talk.
I know. I'm just continuing.
Metron? Yeah, in the chair? Yeah, of course.
No, Darkseid.
Oh, I was thinking
Metron.
In the chair.
Yeah.
I'll just drink my cider.
Oh, jeez.
Julius Schwartz gave him, who's like its esteemed DC editor and ran a lot of DC for years, gave him a tour at DC at one point. He didn't like jump right into comics at that point. So, but by 1957, he was inking Vince Coletta and Matt Baker's pencils. And this is like out of high school.
So
he's doing this fairly young. But it seemed like semblance of the timeline. It didn't seem like, oh, he did that, and that was his door, and then he was in.
Right, because he didn't really do it until the 60s.
Yeah.
Until like 66.
66, he started working for Harvey Comics.
Yeah.
Started doing writing and drawing for them. And then
he was
also
doing the Baby Huey comics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he drew him with glasses and a big toupee.
Yeah.
He was doing Hector and Catnip or... Harvey comics suck.
I want like the Huey. They had the swirly lines, you know, the black and white sort of going on behind him at all times. Like it's just a Huey drug trip.
Also in '66, he met Stan Lee for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Started talking to Marvel. Nick Fury, S.H.I.E.L.D. had a backup story in Strange Tales that was like kind of ongoing. They did a lot of in the '60s was like, you know, like half
two
and half
ones.
Or like two thirds was this story.
Sorry, it was Strangeco Tales actually.
Strangeco Tales.
Pardon me.
So he picked that up and started doing some of the backup stuff, and it kind of grew from there. He has been forever linked to Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. because he did a lot of stuff with him.
Well,
in terms of what he did. He actually, and we were just talking about this before we recorded, he really didn't do a lot of comics.
No.
It was a very short period where it was his main stint.
It was like 3 years.
Something like that, yeah. And then like he did do stuff afterwards, but it has no long stretches of doing stuff.
No. Well, he changed Fury from, you know, being a guy in a suit to, you know, he invented the straps and pouches.
Yeah.
30 years before anyone else was doing it, he was like, straps and pouches, baby.
Was that and kind
of
created
more
of a... It's
been a Liefeld himself.
Yeah.
Created like more of like the spy side of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Introduced, what's her name? Countess... Florentine.
Elaine Bennis.
Yeah.
Elaine Bennis,
yeah. Yeah.
Is it like that?
Versus Kramer.
He liked to draw women. So, yes. And it was always very sexy women. That is unheard of. Who in doesn't? Comics. Exactly. So he created a lot of secondary characters that were like kind of like that. Grew from there. Steranko in the 60s, later in the 60s in that stretch, drawing on pop culture influence, interesting layouts and design, kind of mixing like surrealism into it.
Yeah.
And really, when you look at his work, and especially there's the comic layouts themselves, but the interiors, but the beautiful covers. And I remember seeing those as a kid, just going like they completely stand out as very different sort of things. Like they weren't your standard cover. Like here's a guy punching this other guy.
No, it's almost like pop art.
It is pop art. Yeah. Like, and he's very influenced. You could tell by there's like a fine art side to it. I don't think he was ever trained in fine arts, but obviously he was very influenced.
Yes.
And as we were discussing earlier, he has had fine art shows in esteemed places such as the Louvre,
the Sydney Opera House.
Yes. Yep. And where was that other one?
The Winnipeg Art Gallery.
Oh, yes. Damn.
Winnipeg Art Gallery.
Where he was viewed by a drunk chick from Winnipeg.
Awesome.
I got to say, though, I mean, like, everybody's had an art show at the Louvre. I mean, like, who hasn't had that? Mm-hmm. But Winnipeg.
To get to the WAG?
Yeah, I know. That's big.
Huh?
So he's writing and drawing. He's doing the art, and he's filling out Fury's background and creating iconic covers. He also did, with Marvel, did some X-Men stuff, some Captain America stuff, and a few others.
Oh, X-Men stuff. You know what he did?
What?
He made that X-Men logo that everybody loves.
Yeah, he redid the logo.
He made it.
Yeah.
Like the one that's the one.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one that everyone thinks of.
Yeah, like not the crappy one from the beginning. Sorry, no offense, Kirby.
Absolutely.
That's a junk logo. Sorry.
Yep.
He really phoned it in on that logo.
Yeah, it's no Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Then 1969, it started to fall apart for him and Marvel. I feel like, and we should probably introduce the idea that Steranko is notoriously a bit of a dick.
He's a heel.
And I don't want to say that he was just an asshole. Although there are points where he is just an asshole, but
he's a bit of a smug prick.
He's a bit of a smug prick, and you know what? He's talented, and it's like that is not unheard of.
I've heard him described, and it's sort of. I watched some videos and I read some stuff, and obviously we're going to get into this later. There's certainly more recent things that are a source of criticism, but I mean, he was described as like really kind of being like a stuntman first and like kind of everything else next kind of a thing, where he's got that kind of an attitude.
It's a very smug exterior, and the way he approaches everybody seems to have that air. Yeah. Like he's like ready to go.
Well, he's got like an image that he projects, and he's got, you know what I mean? I'm not like, he's certainly not like, he doesn't seem dishonest at all or anything. He seems to be very open about stuff, but he's certainly got a certain swagger and a certain style that he leans into.
Yeah.
And
he has an aesthetic and a personality.
He reminds me of like a wrestling character.
For
sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Good.
But
good
like a showman. Connection. Like that's, you know what I mean? He, like, this is who I am. And like, you know, that's true, but he's also, like, he's a character, but it feels genuine, but he's also a character.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway. I think he may have seen what Stan was doing.
Oh, man. Maybe, yeah. That makes a little bit of sense.
So 1969, he does a horror comic called The Tower of Shadows, #1. And I guess he had already kind of clashed a bit with Stan beforehand, like, and probably with other editorial people. Like he did not like being edited, like being kind of overseen in that way.
Yeah, so like Stan, glasses and toupee. I mean, like, get out of here. That's my thing. And then they just they
so,
fought.
So Stan and Jim clashed over the panels, dialogue, story title, all this stuff. Didn't like being edited. Then he did it, and then he kind of left Marvel, and then returned a little bit. But really that was his main stint, like 66 to 69 was his main output, especially for Marvel.
Oh yeah. If you look at like the amount of, and again, like absolutely some like definitive classic, like, you know, very, you know, important runs on stuff.
And very influential.
Yeah. Not as prolific really as a lot of other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause he did kind of leave comics a little bit. Like he would occasionally pop back, but he went into like doing paperback covers, advertising, doing other stuff. So he did like he's an artist. So he went into other directions, like a lot of others do. He also went into publishing. So he had Super Graphics, which was like his publishing house in 1969. They did an anti-drug comic book for schools. He also put out, and we were talking about this, the Steranko History of Comics, which I've heard referenced in certain things, in certain circles every now and again, or in a video or in an article or something. Originally, it was supposed to be six books going over the history of comics. Only two ever were completed and released. I've never seen one. I have no idea what it looks like, how
I know big what the cover looks like.
Do you? I've never even seen that.
There was a Comic Tropes episode from a few years ago that I watched in prep for this.
Yeah.
So yeah, like did some magazine publishing, did some indie work.
Did some stuff for heavy metal.
Yes.
Oh. He did the adaptation. There was a Sean Connery movie. What is it called? Outland?
Okay.
Oh.
He's basically, he plays not a sheriff, but like a lawman on a mining colony on one of the moons of Jupiter. Is the film, and you know it's a Western in space, but Steranko did the comic adaptation of it, and it's actually this was in the Comic Tropes video, but it's beautiful. It's really well done. It's pretty much I don't know if it's all, but it's a lot of splash pages with action in the foreground or up top, and then below panels of action that sort of carries it through.
Yeah.
It's the images that I saw of it. It's really, really beautiful. I would recommend checking it out.
Cool. He also delved into sketches and preliminary paintings for movie posters. Mm-hmm. He did. You already mentioned the project concept art there for Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula.
Yeah.
He did. He was a concept artist for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Oh right.
Yeah. So interesting stuff.
Oh, and did he design? I thought I read somewhere that he the look of the Indiana Jones look was.
Depends who you ask.
A lot of, I think that's a depends on who you ask.
That's true.
Yeah. In more modern years, it's his convention talks are the legendary things. He's a storyteller, and this, again, if you haven't looked him up, look up to see what he looks like, because his toupee and veneers could probably have a run in WWF
as a tag team duo. I don't know.
They're that fascinating.
I don't know if I just don't pay attention to whether or not someone's wearing a wig. I know what to look for, but I don't know. I never assume that anyone's wearing a wig. It's clearly a wig.
He's got, you know what I mean? It's one of the things. He has like a look, and he decided what that was.
Yep.
And he can't vary from it. In 1957. No matter what genetics.
Yeah.
And age.
I saw somebody had posted a thing on Reddit that was like, I never realized, I know the name Jim Steranko, and I know his work, but I've just never looked to what Jim Steranko
looks like an average dude.
Yeah,
the hell?
And so then they post the picture of like this close up of his face. This is what Jim Steranko looks like. And then one of the comments was, "This is the image what comes to mind when I think of cocaine."
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. On that note, funny enough,
he looks like a California crazin.
Yeah, I said earlier he's like comic books Robert Evans, and the cocaine even frankly works.
And I've said this, we were talking about this beforehand. I make my own ringtones, and I've done this for years. I put them on my phone, and
it's a real sicko.
And especially since we started doing the show, I always like snag little tidbits. I hear something and I'm like, oh, that'd be a great little bit we can throw into the show. I have way too many, and 99% of them will never ever make it into a show. But I've had this as a ringtone for years, and this is whatever I think of Jim Steranko, I think of this.
Hey, how you doing? How you like this show? Pretty rocking, wouldn't you say?
That's Jim. I've heard that one.
Yeah.
Jim Steranko.
Jim Steranko. Okay.
Huh.
And he's talking to this lady, and he's like, he's on his show. Hey, pretty rocking, wouldn't you say? Yeah. And it's just that
what
smarmy,
kind of show was it?
I don't
know.
Because
I know
he's
a rocker.
Even.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Like, it was whatever convention. I have no idea where I got it from. Yeah. I don't know where the source is. Sorry, I wish I could
That's okay.
Tell you the source, but
That's okay.
I definitely want to see his, like, Vegas show in the 70s, absolutely.
Yeah.
One other thing before we get into other stuff. Kurt Busiek reposted somebody else's tweet that was basically saying, so I got my picture taken with Jim Steranko. He only takes pictures with hot women. That's a thing that happened. So Kurt Busiek says, Jim Steranko, still an asshole.
Wow.
Well. Yeah. Well, checks out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're surprised.
You know, and I mean, again, you can't obviously, like, very, you know, made a lot of iconic comics and obviously made a huge mark on comics as a medium and an art form, for sure. Living legend, absolutely. There's no shortage of comic professionals who are willing to call him an asshole.
Yeah.
There's a lot. It seems like, you know, save it what you will, but it's, you know, so, it's just true.
So now that we have the overview of Jim Steranko and the basic idea, the idea that we had is we've each kind of researched. We just found stories online.
Yeah.
Because there's a bevy of stories of Jim Steranko online.
Okay, so I'm going to try to do this in character. Let's see how it goes. Here's the thing, though.
Pretty rocking, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it's pretty rocking. So here's the thing. You know, anytime, hey, it's me, Jim Steranko. Check me out, babe. I'm just doing Dennis Miller. It's Dennis Miller, goddammit. You know, anytime I would go to the DC offices, I'd always ask for Bill Finger. Hell of a guy. He had a photographic memory, and I know this because I would, you know,
I've seen the prints.
I'd go out. Excuse me, who's talking, sir?
What's going on?
Yeah. Anytime I went to the DC offices, I'd ask to see if Bill was in. He wasn't in a lot, but you know, if he was in, I'd hang out with him. We'd go out for dinner, and you know, he did have a photographic memory. I know this because I would ask him things that I knew the answers to. He'd always get it right every time. We finish up dinner. He'd you know, he'd always ask, oh hey, you know, Jim, can I borrow a couple bucks for a couple weeks? And, you know, the guy, living legend, created Batman, really created Batman. I know, you know, I'd give him a couple 20s. I don't know, because the thing with Bill, he lived pretty frugally. He didn't spend a lot of money. I don't know why. You know, maybe he was keeping a woman at the Y or something, but you know, always made sure that I gave Bill Finger money. What a guy.
Gave Bill Finger.
He would lend Bill Finger money because Bill Finger didn't have enough money. Jim Steranko, that saint. He'd always make sure that Saint he provided Steranko for Bill Finger. What would he do for Bob Kane, you think?
Well, maybe I'll take the next one to tell you exactly what he would do.
That would be great if he would do that. I'm sure he'd give Bob Kane some money, too, if Bob Kane needed it. Not that he would, because he was fairly well off, what with, you know, the Batman stuff.
Okay, I'm going to read this because this was from a string of tweets that he had told, because somebody had tweeted, because he's told this story. This is one of his most legendary Steranko-ish tales. Him encountering Bob Kane. Somebody said, would love to hear a Bob Kane story from Jim Steranko. I know he has at least one really good one. #slap.
yes.
So Steranko starts, I hadn't encountered Kane in my travels, but at one rockin'. Yeah, she says rockin'.
It is rockin'.
It is rockin'.
And it was Moroccan
with the apostrophe. One really rockin' San Diego Comic-Con. An associate asked me if I wanted to meet him. And walked me into a hallway. There he was, in a small group of people wearing patent leather shoes. Sorry, I'm reading like short tweets at a time. Patent leather shoes and an ascot. And ascot's in all capitals.
He loves his all caps.
Yeah, he does. But, you know, Bob Kane loved an ascot.
That's true.
So let me lead that in again, because it says, there he was in a small group of people wearing patent leather shoes and an ascot like he was Vitamin fucking Flintheart in Dick Tracy in a Dick Tracy cartoon. You're like, wow.
Strong. What a reference.
Specific reference.
Yes.
For years, I'd heard how he'd taken credit for Bill Finger's contributions in addition to half his pay and other despicable tales from his associates. But nothing aces an in-person encounter. We were introduced and Kane began talking about a Batman chapter in the history of comics, which treated him and everyone else very respectfully. He felt, and this is in Steranko's history.
Right, right.
So he felt I credited Robinson and Finger, both of whom I knew intimately. Kane, a.k.a. Khan, he actually says that, which is... was beyond pretentiousness, an intolerable ass as pompous as they come. I bit my tongue while he regaled us with his many achievements. The group was waiting for an elevator, which they stepped into when the door opened. Our conversation ended. But not before he said, "See you later, Jim baby," and cuffed me across the face like some rat-packed street gesture he'd seen in some cheap flick. The doors closed. I was stunned by the sheer audacity of a stranger like him to lay a hand on me and boiling with anger. That night, I couldn't sleep. And the next morning, okay, let me just say, I thought this, when I'd always thought of this story, I thought it was immediate. Bang, bang.
Yeah.
But no, this carried on through the night.
He dwelled over this.
He's walking and there's like, you know, open 24-hour signs like flashing by him and stuff.
King Khan. That night, I couldn't sleep. And the next morning began combing the halls for his Bat Majesty. Around noon, I found him in another group, which I walked into. "Good to see you, Bob, baby," I said, then bitch slapped him across the face.
Backhand. And you know he wears rings.
Yeah.
Oh, big time. Oh, yeah.
But this time there was no elevator door closing between us. I stood there for about 15 seconds, waiting. He did nothing. I turned and left, but I regret it now. I regret that he didn't do anything about it. Not that he regretted hitting another person.
No.
Even though he was at least a head taller than me, which I think most people were, I wouldn't have minded bleeding it all for one more opportunity. Wow. To give Kane the kind of bat lesson that Finger, Robinson, Sprang, and others only dreamed of. And that is that.
I mean, that's a hell of a story.
It's a story. And you got to say, like, picture the walking image of cocaine up on a San Diego Comic-Con telling you that story.
Yeah.
That would be fun as hell.
Yeah. I mean, those are wild days, I guess.
Yeah.
Pretty rockin', what you say? I'm going to have a bit about him just talking about art, basically, in a piece called, Sacred Geometry, they've named this. Okay, it's Friday night, and why you guys are hanging out here, I'll never know. Is that Steranko? That's not Steranko. Let me hear Steranko again. I don't know what to do.
Hey, Chachi.
Hey, how you doing? How you like this show? Pretty rocking, wouldn't you say?
Not completely far off. Anyway.
Hey, how you doing? How you like this show? Pretty rocking, wouldn't you say?
Pretty rocking.
It's
Friday night, and why you guys are hanging out here, I'll never know. Even worse, it's Friday night for me, too. What the hell happened? Major lightning storm here at the moment, so I doubt that I'd be on the tennis court anyway. Tennis course? He said course, but it's a court, isn't it? Jim. I can't help wondering how many artists...
I'm off to the golf court.
Yeah. I can't help wondering how many artists are tuned into the TNT show, because so many of you ask for advice. I assume that was a thing. I don't know. Raise your hands. He's saying to no one. That said, I'm not sure that discussing the intricacies of creation once in a while wouldn't be appropriate. I believe this is that the more knowledge even amateurs and connoisseurs have, the more understanding and pleasure can be derived from art-related experiences. So bear with me, and I'll try to make it as painless as possible. Over the last few weeks I've been here, many comments have been made regarding compositions of images. Yesterday, a group of postings featured Outland, all caps, which did embrace the complex and nuanced compositions, primarily the large establishing panel. Mm. Here's my secret for taming difficult images. I use an approach based on what has been termed sacred geometry, which actually refers to the aspect of universal order, a Pythagorean system that regulates the position of all elements in any image and systematically structures their arrangement into a unified whole. Among other things, it's also called dynamic symmetry and golden sectioning. It keeps going. Relax, because I'm not going any further down that path academically. Just setting the stage for a little personal observation that may give you real insight about art and composition, whether you're an artist or an art lover. All my major works are golden sectioned in the layout stage, so that before I get to the inking or painting process, all compositional elements and problems are definitively resolved. My shadow and spider paintings, and most of my cover images, all golden sectioned. My comic book covers, after a particular point, all golden sectioned. My Spirit of America print, golden sectioned. Graphic prints of darkness, golden sectioned. You know,
I love the enthusiasm you're putting into this.
Slightly yelled.
I gotta get.
The system allows the artist to geometrically control complex imagery into significant readable order. The approach was developed in ancient Greece and has been used for centuries. And this is not the place to get into it. Where is the place to get it? All right. However, here's a shortcut that takes only a minute to comprehend.
Winnipeg.
A few nights ago, someone here posted a page out of one of my Captain America books. A fight scene with many figures that but it had great clarity. Golden sectioning. I discovered after studying the science of sacred geometry that certain formulas could be simplified and easily applied to the composition of images. One of those shortcuts involved the alphabet. For example, that Captain America page.
Captain America!
Would someone post that pup again? Was designed to conform to the capital letter A. Simple, huh? Remember Frazetta's first Conan paperback cover? Conan the Adventurer? The letter A. Conan the Conqueror? Conan the Usurper? Conan the Buccaneer? Conan the Avenger? All conform to the letter A. Frazetta used that compositional device again and again. It was not only his favorite, but by far his most successful composition. Okay, get the idea? The same applies to other letters, which suggest the placement of important and secondary elements. Those other elements are H, M, N, O, S, T, V, W, Y, Z, and the very important X. Q, get out of here! We don't need you!
Was that, okay, was that Serenko or was that Bri?
That was me.
Okay.
That was Bri. Or was it? As you look over art in the coming days, don't expect to find sacred geometry much in comics, except by accident. Apply the Steranko shortcut 12 capital letter system to understanding the compositions of the great artists. Even Da Vinci used the formula for The Last Supper. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for the rest of us. And if you ask me what comics he draws, you're in deep trouble. Class dismissed! I'm going to have to look into that more, I suppose.
Yeah, that actually kind of intrigues me a little bit.
It is, yeah.
I've heard it referred to, I don't know if it's the same thing, if I'm linking the two, and then that's not correct, but like it's the sacred trio.
Yeah.
You do a triangle
kind of.
Like, and it's, and think an A is a triangle.
Yes.
And it's just that.
And a Z, that's just two triangles.
Yeah.
And an X, that's just four triangles.
An H, that's 17 triangles.
Yeah.
You know,
and a triangle, that's just a triangle.
Yeah. A Z is like two triangles 69ing, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
But they fucking love it.
They love it.
They're dirty.
Yeah. Dirty parts of a Z. N only wishes it could do as well as Z.
Well, N is doing like a pile driver sort of thing.
That's true.
Just scissoring. Yeah.
It's pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, part of the N is really strong, and the other part of the N is pretty light, so. Steranko.
Pretty rockin', wouldn't you say?
So, this is a Steranko conspiracy theory.
Ooh.
It's not a story. Just to twist it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Jim Steranko was doing Nick Fury, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Jim Steranko has a past as an escape artist and magician.
Mm.
Well, Sidney Levine was a character in Nick Fury, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., who was sort of like the Q sort of character, made the stuff, and looked a lot like Sidney Gottlieb, who was the technical director of the CIA at the time.
Huh.
And the CIA's, you know, a lot of their old sort of like manuals and stuff was based off of stage magic and misdirection and escape artists, and was written by John Mulholland, who knew Steranko from the Witch Doctors Club. So
The
Witch Doctors Club, which it was a magician's club that Steranko was a member of. John Mulholland was also a member of and was working for the CIA. So this Sidney Levine is the fictional character that Steranko put in Nick Fury. Sidney Gottlieb, who is the head of the technical division of the CIA, did a little project called MK Ultra that you might be familiar with. So here's the thing. Gottlieb wasn't outed until 75, but this book came out in the 60s. Ooh. So when Steranko was working for Marvel and also working for other agencies, he said he worked for like ad agencies and stuff. Was he also working for another agency?
An agency of intelligence
that may or may not be a central.
Interesting.
Yes, isn't it? Isn't it interesting? Game interesting and brief. The Kyle Promise. Well, I mean, maybe brief is the Kyle Promise. Interesting. You be the judge.
Pretty rockin', wouldn't you say?
We're going to end on an uncomfortable note.
Please.
Please.
Welcome to Zero Issues.
Please.
Who
died?
So, a lot of people. Because this was a tweet from 2021. It's getting uncomfortable. From what we can see, I didn't go too hard and deep into it that,
fair. That's fair.
He's, a bit of a Trumper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
wait, the old white guy?
Mm-hmm. No way.
With the hair.
What?
And the tan.
Yeah.
I gotta
just say for one second on that note.
With the wig?
What's weird is all the stuff he said about Bob Kane, I feel like a lot of that you could also easily say about Donald Trump, and you slapped that. Mm-hmm. So, like, why do you like this one?
Yeah. So this specifically was about the pandemic, and he made a tweet saying this, and it says, "The Chinese pandemic," and then that's capitalized.
That's it.
Chinese pandemic.
The whole tweet.
The Chinese pandemic has stolen years from our lives. I felt it as much as anyone. Those who know me and have hung out with me at shows know the importance I lay on personal appearances and connecting at gigs with fans and from every corner of the USA. We'll be ready when you are. Ta-da. It's like, okay.
American flag emoji.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, like, and again, you know, he's 85 years old. He's still with us, but I mean...
I get it.
I gotta say, if anyone was at most risk during the heights of the pandemic, it would probably be him. So,
but then
I mean,
it's a whole different mindset, and it's that idea of just like understanding that people don't even grasp it in the same way.
Yeah,
and will just refuse to believe it until whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it was more the phrasing of Chinese pandemic.
Yes.
Yes.
Which
all caps
has all caps,
which, I mean,
and
is
has
familiar.
It's you know. It's utilizing this thing that's racism that's kind of covered and cloaked
a little bit.
Like whether it's outwardly he's racist, I'm not going to say that because I don't know. But it's this thing, and it's those things
you have
real effects.
You chose to call
it
that. You didn't have to, and you chose to.
You chose to, and then that calls upon. There are many people who Asian descent in the United States and elsewhere, Canada as well, where there was. A lot of hate thrown their way, violence. People were hurt and killed because of this.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know
For just literal, just pure
being.
Stupid anger just and racism. And I mean,
So there was a lot of response to that. So here are some tweets from other comic creators. Frank Cho, both of my parents are in the hospital with COVID, and the last thing I need to hear is more xenophobic Republican lies from this narcissistic, hateful egomaniac.
Wow, I'm normally not on Frank Cho's side, but
So Greg Pack said, "Mr. Steranko, I'm trying to word this politely. Please listen to the many people responding to your tweet. Hate incidents against Asian Americans have skyrocketed. Avoiding the use of terms like Chinese pandemic can help make the country safer for us."
Right.
Yeah.
Jim McClain said, "I've said this before and I'll say it again. My daughter is an American born in China and has already experienced harassment due to wording like this. Mm. You've met her in person. Would you use this term to her face? Ooh. If not, then you need to review your behavior."
Well put.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them. I'm not going to go through all of them, but Tony Lee, Jesus, Jim. I know. I know we've lost a year of our lives, but naming it that is reckless and quite honestly sad to see, considering your platform. Happy to chat to you about how casual racism isn't needed anymore and how you used to be better than this. We'll be ready when you are.
Yes. So, less casual racism, more casual sex.
I apologize for possibly pronouncing this wrong. Kwanzaa Osoyefo.
Oh, yeah.
Dick move, Stanko.
Stanko Staranko.
That's devastating. He's devastated right now.
Dick move, Stanko. Your creative contributions don't allow you to use exact racist language.
Yeah. Yep.
Leading to attacks on Asian people.
Yeah.
Instead of spreading spoiled mayo across the internet, consider why a country as great as the USA didn't protect its citizens from a virus.
What does spoiled mayo mean?
I don't know.
Well, is that...
I think it's just a reference to him being very white.
White.
Oh, okay. I just thought it was a...
And old.
I thought it was semen-based.
Oh, God. Oh. I mean, that could also be it.
Because he's very old.
We don't know what the intention was, but I think we can speculate and have a good time doing it.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. He didn't want to cover his pearly whites with a stupid mask.
Yeah.
Also, like, I'm pretty...
Because they're pretty rocking, don't you
think?
Pretty rocking. I gotta say, though, I feel like somebody with his experience, and again, he's had, like, you know, he grew up in hard times. He probably experienced a lot of health crises happening, you know, in the world and his country, and, you lost time of your lives. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, that happens a lot. I'm sure a lot of people during the Depression thought they were, like, losing years of their life to troubles. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You've been through a lot of those, and it didn't seem like anything held you back, but for some reason this time, it's a big problem. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I certainly can't get behind the Trumpness, and a lot of the language he seems to be using seems to be glomming on to that a little bit, and you know what I mean?
It's easy to get frightened and angry and bitter once you have had your way for a long time.
Yes.
And it's like everybody's got a very different life experience.
I'm not making excuses for him.
No, but it's
because that's a shitty thing. He did a shitty thing.
There's excuses, and then there's understanding where somebody gets to that point.
Yes,
and I think we don't have enough of that. We just yell. We have a society. We just yell and scream at each other.
Yeah. True.
And you're right. You're wrong. No, I'm right. And blah blah blah. Mm. And it's like maybe we need to understand why people are the way that they are at.
Yeah. Well, it seems that situation, there was a lot of, I mean, there were a lot of people lobbing insults at him, and I mean, like, listen, do whatever. But a lot of people, like, genuinely asking him to listen to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I hope that's a better
approach, yeah.
Yeah, but I think on that note, our microphone is on battery power, and it's going to die shortly, so let's wrap it up. We haven't plugged in a while. Can we plug?
Let's plug.
Okay.
Let's plug.
So I'm going to go first. My name is Kyle Lees, and you can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com. I sell prints and comic books and pins and magnets and all sorts of stuff. Go check it out, or thekylelees on Instagram.
I'm Brad Kotick. You can check out my comic at welcometohereafter.com. You can also find me on social media, usually just under my name, BryKotyk. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Tumblr, I'm on Blue Sky now.
What the hell is that?
It's like a Twitter replacement, but it's like... It's not Threads, no. It's like, I got a friend of mine, my friend Chris, gave me an invite, and a lot of comics folks are on there.
I'm also
a
Chris.
Lots of Chris's.
Chrisson.
Just... Ooh! Actually, his last name is Grissom. It's weird.
Oh!
Yeah. Anyway, so he very kindly gave me an invite code, and it's mostly just been following comics folks on there, and it kind of has that good feeling again, because that's what I always liked about, like, say, Twitter, was just following comics folks, and, you know, to the point it just became a bad. You're just fighting in the sewer at some point.
Yeah.
No matter what, you're just trying to post a picture, and people are just yelling shit at you. It's a bad place.
Just fighting in the sewer. Getting to the end. Baxter Stockman's there. He's got his little hovery thingy.
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, big
time. Keeps dropping mousers. Stop dropping mousers.
You know, there is a big bot problem.
Rude.
It must be said.
There we go.
So, yeah, I'm on Blue Sky, which seems more chill and more fun. So
nice.
Feel free to find me there.
If you can get on it.
If you can.
My name is Merc.
Uh-huh. Yeah, use your words, buddy.
My name is Merk. You can find me at merkasylum.ca, merkasylum.ca. Merk on Facebook, Merkanaut, like astronaut, on Instagram. If you're
He's still got it.
Instagram and Facebook, that's about all I'm on. But for the month of January, I'm doing spawn pictures.
Hell yeah, you are.
Because there's spawnuary.
You suggested that I do it too, and I did not.
Yeah.
Look, well, I'm in school right now, and I'm losing my mind.
You are very busy. I get it.
Yeah.
Our friend, Mr. Ryan Mackett, sent me the little suggestion. I didn't know quite what was going on, that McFarlane is putting out, like, everybody draw, like, every week it changes what, like, first one is Spawn, then it's Gunlinger Spawn, then it's Scorched, then it's a Spawn villain, and they'll choose...
Which one?
Any of them.
They're all getting turned into action figures.
And then you can be the winners. They'll choose one for each week. You'll get a variant cover. You'll be a variant cover.
Your first piece, I got to say, I really like that.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, thank you.
I might have missed that one. I've been busy this month. I got to check it out.
I stayed up late and did another.
It's in the room. Can we talk to the Spawn picture?
I just had the black and white.
Is the Spawn picture in the room with you right now, Kyle?
Can't wait to see your salmon twitch.
Holy moly. That's neat.
Yeah, so...
I hope you get a cover. Good Lord.
And then I did Gunslinger Spawn.
Yeah, I like that.
And then I did a second Gunslinger Spawn last night. Scorched is next. I don't know. It's like a team. So it's like, you know, it's Gunslinger Spawn, I think Medieval Spawn. I don't know. A few others. I don't really know.
Is this an all-Spawn team?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, no. There's others in it. But I don't know who really they are.
I know who isn't there.
And,
Angela.
There's a Angela like person.
There's
there.
Angela Lansbury. Oh yeah,
Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
Just Angela Lansbury wearing the same outfit.
Yeah,
kind of rocks it.
And then the last one's this is the I might do the villain one.
Nice,
Metal Borgia.
Oh,
Borgia. Blah, blah. The Lord of the Same Slayer. Blah, blah, blah. Oh fuck.
Anyways,
join us.
Yeah,
next week.
You better do
when we talk about something.
Oh. I've got something to take us out on real quick.
Please.
It was a thought I had as I was going to bed last night. Look.
Why are my pants down?
It's a hard time of the year, and, you know, we're dealing with seasonal depression and all that nonsense. But in case you needed a pick-me-up, nobody's perfect, and you may have done something dumb today. But at least you're not the guy who coined the term Japanimation for anime in the early 90s. So,
that's true.
You know, hang on to that.
Also, Kyle, it's Pobody's Nerfect.
I'll f***ing kill you. You're so...
Staranko him! Give him the old Stanko!
Oh, no! He's biting me with the veneers!
I got a couple. Excuse me.
Sibilance.
What does that mean? What does the word sibilance mean?
Look, if you don't know what it is, I'm not going to explain it to you.
Well, God damn it. That,
are you, how Sybil Shepherd-y are you?
Sybil Shepherd.
Sybil Shepherd. Sybil Shepherd. Are you
100% sibilance? Oh, okay. All right. It's like a semblance.
Yeah.
So it's a Sybil semblance.